This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's now a best of three series in the Eastern Conference semis. Timeout called by Steve Nash, and it appears to be the right ankle of Kyrie Irving.
They've just held the Brooklyn Nets on consecutive games to 83 and 96 points.
Big, big, big trouble for the Brooklyn Nets. What'd it do? It is Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. And guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Chris Carlin for Alan Bartholomew, Alexander Scott.
Irving. Scott.
Is Irving your middle name?
No. I just Irving because that's the pressing issues going on now, man. It's like.
I was going to say, because Irving had a pretty bad weekend. It did not work out well.
Man, I tell you what, it's crazy, right? Because you talk about the big three, and finally we kind of applauded the fact that they finally got healthy all together. So now you got the big one, right? We got 33.3% of the big three kind of going. We got 66.6. Yeah, I told you I got that. I went to DeVry.
Yeah.
I got 66.6.
You're a numbers guy.
Sitting on the bench. Sitting on the bench. I tell you what, man, and – like, this defense by Tucker is starting to get underneath KD's skin. And I think he's about ready to blow, like, you know, to the fact where either he's going to hit him with an elbow or he's going to retaliate because he's starting to become that gnat. But it's different from Beverly being that gnat or one of those guys because Tucker's so big and so strong. Not tall, but big and strong. And the physicality, I think, is starting to get to KD. And we're starting to see now without Kyrie and without Harden, like, you don't really want KD to be your primary ball handler and playmaker all the time because he's really good at maybe facilitating every once in a while, but he's best when he plays off the ball and is able to catch and shoot. And now he's going to have to do everything. And the others can't really, you know, handle the load. And Joe Harris comes up on the road, comes up short, small.
I'll tell you what, there are so many issues here. And let's hit it with Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Are the Nets in big, big trouble? And to me, they are, because I listened to Steve Nash, and I don't exactly get the impression that he's terribly optimistic that they're going to have Kyrie Irving. And then that means, how is that going to impact Kevin Durant? Here's the Nets head coach.
Well, I have no idea, you know, what's going to happen with Kai in the coming days. You know, we'll cross our fingers and hope that it's better than you know, I don't know, better than what? Better than missing the next game. You know, it is tricky with Kevin. We all got to pitch in. We all got to play together. We got to move the ball. And I thought tonight we got a little single-minded looking for Kevin every time. Puts a little bit too much pressure on him. It makes us a little more predictable, I thought. You know, which puts a lot of burden on him. So we got plenty of guys who have stepped up in absence this year and done very well. And I think we're going to rely on each other to play a team game, move the ball. And, of course, we're looking for Kevin as much as we can, but within reason. You know, within reason, without confining ourselves and being predictable.
Look, I'll get to the role players in a second. I understand what you're saying, and I agree. There's no doubt that P.J. Tucker is getting under his skin. Bart, let's see it. And for Durant, this is the time where there's nobody else there. When you look at the entirety of his career, there's always been somebody on a high level to be there to help out. And he's going to get all of the attention. If you are who we believe you are and your guys are not complaining about fouls or any of that, let's see it. Because the Nets need Durant to carry them here the next couple of games if they don't have these guys.
And we just asked LeBron James to do the same. Right, we asked LeBron James without a credible superstar next to him to carry the team, and he couldn't do it either. But Kevin Durant is supposed to be the next in line. Let's see if
he's more in his prime than LeBron is.
Well, in his game ages better, right? Because he's a deadly shooter, 7 feet. He doesn't have to expend the physical exertion that LeBron has to do to dominate, because LeBron dominates more when he's facilitating, handling a ball, and getting up and down the court. Now, I told you guys, like, what we were seeing from Blake Griffin was fool's gold.
It's a mirage, absolutely.
And now you're starting to see the minutes are starting to get to him. You know, you have Green who gets back just in the nick of time, but I don't know if I don't start Green and put Blake on the bench to come off the bench because he's just shot.
Well, let's call him what he's been. He's been a complete non-factor here the last couple of games.
Right.
If he doesn't have all of those other pieces around him, he's not capable of helping to carry you offensively like he used to be.
Right, and that's why I think you have to go with Jeff Green at 6'8". He has the ability to provide. He's pretty much the same height as, you know, he's pretty much the same height as Griffin, but he'll be able to be the guy who should be the primary defender on Giannis and let him come off the bench. We saw this happen with Derrick Rose too. Guys who have been injured, and it's funny because when you watch the Denver game and you watch JaVale McGee get in, mm-hmm. we're used to him being like the Energizer Bunny. But he hadn't played and logged those type of minutes throughout the year, so he was fatigued, and he couldn't be the effective player that he's always been, a guy that can just run the court, get the hustle plays. And who's going to be that guy that's going to get those 50-50 balls? You know, Joe Harris has to step up, and, you know, you have to get somebody else to come and help KD and somebody that can facilitate. You know, I don't know, man. This has to be all hands on deck.
Oh, yeah.
I think you have – I'm talking about you have to go hard, and you have to have a conversation with him. And say, hey, man, we need some minutes from you, man. We need you in uniform, just a threat, even if you're out there spotting up. Now, we don't want him to be out there and be like Anthony Davis, but we don't think that this is a groin. This is a hamstring. And listen, Kyrie, like, we talk about how some of the greatest guys under 6 feet have always risen to the occasion. And I know that, you know, an ankle injury is nothing to play with. But I did watch Isaiah Thomas come back and put 25 up in one quarter with a grossly swollen ankle. I did watch him come back, and he still attempted. He wasn't the same player the following game, but he came back. We need the threat of all of them, all hands on deck, and damn tomorrow, we got to live for the day.
Well, here's Steve Nash on whether or not Harden would be pushed to try to get back.
I don't want James to be rushed back. If he's able to play next game or the game after, that's fantastic. If he's not, I don't want to rush him back and jeopardize – you know, doing something worse or making this a long-term injury. So we'll see. We'll have to take all these things into account and evaluate them and try to make a smart decision.
What in the hell? Like, listen.
I think it's two things there. Number one, it's they still have another year altogether.
I don't care about another year.
I understand that, but I think that's part of it.
I don't care about another year.
I know. I think it's part of it, though. The way things are in the league right now, I think that's part of it.
Listen, long term, what the hell is going to happen to him? He pulls his hamstrings, the worst case scenario.
Right.
Right? He's not going to pull a calf. He's not going to pull Achilles. He got a messed up hamstring.
It's happened twice now.
Yeah, he tears the hamstring off the bone. That's worst case scenario. You don't need Harden next regular season at the beginning of the year.
No, I agree. I'm talking about they still are not thinking like this is the last run. And I agree with you about the thought. I think that's part of it. And I think the other part, too, is just that. This is an injury he's had twice. And we saw what just happened with Anthony Davis with the Lakers. And you put him back out on the court, and he's not close to me. At times, when you put a guy like that back out there and he aggravates it or something, it's almost more deflating in the moment that he's actually on the court to see that happen.
I got to risk it. I can't go down 3-2 going back to Milwaukee.
Oh, you're dead if that's the case. You're dead in the water.
I can't do that hoping that, okay, I'll win it in 7. I got to see what you got, bro.
I agree. There's one other thing, though, okay? This is why all year I have stressed why defense has to be a concern for the Nets, because their mentality has mm-hmm. been – we're just going to outscore everybody. Can't do that right now.
If you can win ugly.
But you can't do that right now when you're not used to defending on an elite level, and now you have to do it all of a sudden. It's not like you can just turn that on.
Their defense is solid to me. I mean, holding one of the highest scoring teams to 107, before that, 80 points, 87 points.
It's solid, but can you win the series with your defense? Because you might have to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they got to figure out how to be more efficient, and they have to figure out, one, how to get – Kevin Durant easy buckets, right? How to get transition buckets. This is when all the little things come. Getting the rebound, crashing the boards, and getting out and running before Milwaukee can set up their defense, right? And figure, like, it's all about the tweak. Like, how are they going to tweak? You know, finally, this game is the game that the Bucks shot better from the three-point. They resemble more the team that we were accustomed to seeing during the regular season. They were able to hit their threes. And I think the part was that you allowed not only Tucker to affect the game on the defensive part of the game, but he also affected it by putting up 13 points by hitting wide-open threes. So now you're going to have to respect him a little bit more. And listen, why don't they go to a hack of Giannis? Dude is shooting 31% from the free throw line. Why aren't you following him every time. He wouldn't get any dunks, any type of momentum to the basket. He's not getting any lobs. I'm fouling him every damn time. Jeff Green coming back gave you another body that you can put on him to foul him.
So, and I'll tell you what else too. He should get a little bit more in this off day off of that Kyrie injury because he played a big role in it there too.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't listen. I got to see where they go because at the end of the day, you know, to me, Milwaukee's still struggling. Right, Jrue Holiday still hasn't had a great game. How long are you going to expect him to do that before he has a breakout game when he starts feeling better? Now we'll see that. Now that the series goes back to Brooklyn, let's see if they can ride that momentum. But I don't. I may not start Harden. I may not start Kyrie, but I need him dressed.
888-SAY-ESPN. What chance do you give the Nets in this situation? Carl in Vermont is going to start us off today on Bart and Hahn. Carl, what's up, brother? Carl.
Carl, you washing the dishes? What the hell, Carl?
Carl's out. George in New Jersey. Next.
Way to start Monday off.
What do you got, hey, George?
How you doing, Bart? How you doing?
Good.
I'm just calling to say I have no sympathy whatsoever for Kevin Durant. I mean, absolutely zero. LeBron, his first time in Cleveland, never had the talent that Kevin Durant has on this team without Kyrie and Harden. He's never had that talent, you know, and he's always took the heat. Even when he had Kyrie and Kevin Love the first time and they were injured, you know, LeBron still took all the heat, but people want to compare and put Kevin in the same category as LeBron. He needs to suck it up, and if he's really that one of those top five guys of all time, six times, put your big boy pants on and make it happen.
See, but we saw LeBron not be able to do that this year with a talented Lakers team. Yeah, they didn't have Anthony Davis, but they still had Morris. They still had Caldwell Pope. They still had Schroeder. They still had guys that they had brought in that had – balled out in his league, and he wasn't able to get past the great leadership of Christopher Paul. And we'll get to that later, I'm sure.
Oh, we will. We will in short order, in fact. And the other part for me about the Nets is if you're not going to play at an elite level up and down the floor when you don't have two of your best players and you still have a superstar, a top three player in the game right now, to me, that speaks a little bit more about what you're made of. Like, Bart, I know.
They only lost by 11, man.
I understand that, and they could have won Game 3. They absolutely could have won Game 3, and they played terribly in Game 3. There is something to be said for a role player playing well on the road at some point. Like, you know, Joe Harris hit a shot. You know, I mean, he went 3 for 13 from three in those two games.
Yo, Chris, they had one other star in double figures. Mm-hmm. One. And it was Kyrie. It's like, come on, son. Can you Blake Griffin, can you at least match PJ Tucker? Can you give me 13? Can we make that a wash?
I don't know. I think Blake might have used everything up with the spring in his step when he got out of Detroit.
Shit, you ain't lying.
Yeah.
20. He had more dunks in one series than he had in 2 years in Detroit.
That's a Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Omar in Brooklyn is next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. What's up, Omar?
Okay, let me ask you this question. As I will say, it is over for Brooklyn. Ask you this question, both of you guys, do you think that Kevin Durant has a game like LeBron has against Boston Celtics, 48 points, 15 rebounds, and 17 assists, and he did not even winch, he did not even smile in that game. Remember that game?
Well, he's not going to have 17 assists. He's not going to do all of that. He could score 48, and that's what I'm saying when I talk about him. 48? Yeah.
He has to be more efficient. 9 of 25 ain't going to get it. He had 28 points, but it felt like he took it, he made it personal with P.J. Tucker.
Yeah,
he made it personal, and he started over-dribbling. And what happens is when you're not facilitating and creating early in the game, then your guys don't have the confidence to take the shots.
9 field goals, 5 turnovers. Yeah. Can't be what's going on. Then we go to what happened with Denver and Phoenix and Nikola Jokic ejected in the third quarter after the hard foul.
He should be fine too, Christopher. What do you mean? Well, people that's listening on the radio, they didn't see your little air quotes.
air quotes, hard foul.
That's frustration.
That's not a hard foul for an MVP. Let me just make my case for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let me make my case for a second. Yes, he wound up. Yes, he swiped at campaign. I understand that. And he caught the flabby part of his arm, the chicken neck part of his arm on Cam's face.
We know that Jokic has been fat for a long time.
Yes.
And when you're fat, and he's even in better shape than he used to be, that's not yellow fat. That's brown fat. That's the hard fat. That fat that fat gets mail delivered.
Yeah, well,
that's how long that fat has been with
him. No matter what kind of fat it was, it may have hurt a little bit, but considering it was a swipe down.
To the head, to the nose.
It caught part of the head with his arm.
And it's a wind up.
And he was winding up down more on the hand, and it caught part of his face.
It was straight frustration.
Well, all right. Oh, it was frustration. I'm not arguing that. I just don't think you eject the guy. You know who else doesn't think so? Mike Malone doesn't think that he should have been ejected.
Oh,
either.
Sure. Yeah, Mike Malone? Who's Mike Malone?
Mike Malone, the head coach of Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
Here he is on that situation and the explanation that he got after the fight.
I felt we quit tonight.
That's from last week.
I don't know. I think it was something along the lines of malicious intent, some other mumbo jumbo. But obviously, you lose the MVP. It's going to make it even harder to try to stave off elimination. And overall, very disappointing to end the series getting swept at home.
Mumbo jumbo.
We got Big Perk on, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I want to know, where the hell was backup? Like, where's backup? Aiden, stand up. Be a man. You in the same weight class as Jokic? This man not only just hit your boy Payne in the face, gave him some pain, then he going to go nose to nose talking stuff, almost kissing your star, him Devin Booker. Nah, at that point, somebody got to go. Like, he got to understand that this ain't how to roll. Now, right now, people looking at them like they soft. Well, we need Chris Paul to come off the bench to beat a big little fella.
Mm.
Chris Paul wouldn't have did that. If that had been Chris Paul, what would they have done?
They would have they ejected Chris Paul?
No, if Chris Paul would have got hit in his nose.
Oh, they would have gone nuts.
Right. So why?
I agree.
So why is Ayton not stepping up? Not for just pain. But for Devin Booker, you're not going to give Booker the same treatment? You don't let nobody go face-to-face and look down on your superstar like that?
No, you don't. I agree. And I want to see one of those guys. Jay Crowder, to me, is the guy that...
Kobe would have told Ayton, you acting real light-skinned right now.
Well, Jay Crowder, to me, would have been the guy that would have gone after
him. He ain't big enough.
But he's tough enough.
No, but I won't weight classes.
Okay.
We just saw Mayweather
Jay Crowder's not 5'10", 190.
Yeah, but we just watched Mayweather and Logan Paul. The greatest boxer in the world can't knock out a YouTuber. Weight classes matter.
He didn't care. He was trying not to get hurt. That was a complete joke. I don't even want to get into that. Here's Jokic on what he was trying to accomplish with the foul.
I wanted to change the rhythm of the game. I wanted to give us some energy, maybe to change the whistle a little bit. So I tried to make a hard foul. Did I hit him? Did I hit him? Didn't hit him? We don't know. So I say sorry if I did. Didn't want to injure him or hit him in the head on purpose. So I watched the game in the locker room to cool off.
Look, I have trouble throwing the MVP out of the game.
I don't.
When it comes to that, let me just ask this question. Be honest.
It's a paper champion anyway.
Let me just ask this question.
Sure.
Would LeBron have been thrown out of the game?
No.
This is the MVP of the league.
Would Devin Booker have been thrown out of the game? Yes.
Yes.
Would Joel Embiid have been thrown out of the game? Yes. Listen, Jokic, you ain't arrived yet.
I don't know that Embiid would have been thrown out of the game. I don't know.
Giannis would have been thrown out of the game.
I don't know about that. I don't know that either one of them would have.
Wind up, contact to the face, malicious. He ran to do it. It ain't like he got under the ball. Yo, the dude is away from the damn basket. The basket is how many feet is a basketball court? I don't know. It's a long way away. You know what I'm saying? They haven't even started going the other way. And he's winding up to hit him. It's different if he's by the basket and he's about to make a layup or he's taking a shot. This dude is about to dribble the ball. Where was backup? Aiden, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I agree with that. I just wouldn't have tossed him out of the game myself.
Rick Mahorn stood up like, what the hell, Ty? He turned the TV on. What kind of basketball is this? They're out there pillow fighting.
888, say ESPN. See, that's the thing, though. You're saying for Jokic at one moment it's pillow fighting, but he took a malicious swat.
That's basically a punch to the nose.
Oh, that's not a punch to the nose. Man. If it was a punch, then I would have thrown him out.
It's not like Payne was like overreacting. Payne,
little bit.
He took a while before
he went down.
Nah, man, I'm telling you, you can hit it. I had my nose broke like that.
I have not. I can't say that I have.
In a basketball game, like it's a delayed reaction. Like you hit it and then your eyes start watering, you can't see. So you look for something to touch solid, like the ground.
I wouldn't know. I'm usually the one dishing out that foul. I'm not the one taking it.
You're the dude at the Y setting hard screens. Like, bro.
I got five in me.
Full court screens. Like, yo, man, this is not a real game. What the hell you doing setting these hard screens, man?
Should have seen me on the streets in Philly with Ike Reese.
Call you fire hydrant.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. More of your calls in a moment, but more about CP3, just absolutely brilliant. And his brilliance, Bart, may benefit more than just the Phoenix Suns. Ugh. It's Bart and Hahn coming to you live from the Seaport District, Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Bart is getting a little something on Credit Karma.
I absolutely do. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there is no need to wait. With Credit Karma money, you could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. And when you make those purchases now and between June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning Instant Karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusion and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC, maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Transfer limits apply as well. Back after this with your calls. Sweep the leg.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
2 seconds, 1 second, and the Suns will move on to the Western Conference Finals.
What is the ceiling of this team this season?
It's special, man. We're just going to keep playing hard. You know, you never know what the future holds. We're going to keep playing hard.
Yeah, you know what the future holds. It holds you opting out. $44 million, you said. Achoo! No, not enough. I need $100 million.
For 3 years. That's what he's looking for at age 36, and he might be worth it. It's Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer gives you multiple quote options so you can pick what's right for you. See for yourself at progressive.com. Let's call it like it is, though. I mean, CP3. I'm not going to say I didn't think he had something like this in him, but this is remarkable. He has done with this team and the incredible effect that's so, Bart, it's so visual in the way they play and the energy that he brings to them that he has been able to turn this team that last year was seemingly nowhere, had talent, but seemingly nowhere, into a team that's headed for the Western Conference Finals.
But what he does is he knows who you are. He knows your scouting report. He gets you the ball in your spots. He doesn't force you to ask you to do anything that you're not good at. He's able to get Aiden shots where he can be one of the most efficient big men in the playoffs this year. He's able to set Crowder up for his spot-up shots. And he's able to get Devin Booker going. And whenever the game seems to get out of control, he either speeds the tempo up or he slows it down. And yesterday he was in his bag. I mean, I think this is the most points he scored in like 6 years, and it's because they needed it, right? It's because, you know, we knew that Denver wasn't going to go down without a fight. And even once Jokic left, that game was still only like 6-7 points at times. And every time that deficit got close, He took over. He made a veteran play. He made the right basketball play. And what he's been is a calming presence for them. He's been the ultimate game manager. And I don't mean that in any sign of disrespect. But he's been able to be the guy that says, hey, man, you guys are going too fast. Let's slow it down, get it right, and let's figure out what's the best way to win. Not to look good, to win.
It's not a game manager like a quarterback. It's a game manager of just controlling everybody's mentality. And what I mean by that is just keeping them on the same page and keeping everybody calm and cool, as you're talking about. But also everybody understanding what their role is and how to set them up to be as successful as possible.
Nobody's trying to do too much. And I mean, coming up with the late steal late in the game, you know, it's just vintage, right? He's a scrappy dude. You know what I mean? He's got to be up there as far as career steals. And he hit daggers, man. That in-between middle game, you know, when he goes down there and he gets in his bag and he gets 18 feet and he's able to get the big man right before he enters the sea of giants, he raises up and he's lethal. And that's that type of mentality that you kind of see in Devin and Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell, too. It's like that killer instinct.
Here's Paul on what the win means.
I ain't really had a chance to process it yet. It's a lot of people on that team that I'm close to. Mike Malone is one of my favorite people in the world. Ryan Bowen, assistant coach for them, was a teammate of mine in New Orleans. And to have my family here, you know, always means a lot.
They are playing at an exceptionally high level right now, and they will give if in fact it does end up being Utah or the Clippers for that matter.
Yeah,
I like their chances a little bit better if it's the Clippers.
I want the Clippers, man, because man,
Kawhi and him.
No. It's not the Kawhi matchup I'm looking for. I'm looking for playoff Rondo to come out and two scrappy defensive guys that are understand the flow of the game, because I think Rondo becomes way more than Patrick Beverley, because Patrick Beverley doesn't have the basketball acumen to match Chris Paul. Rondo has the success and the basketball acumen to maybe not talent-wise, but as far as facilitating and being a game manager, Rondo can do it at a high level too.
Here's Sylvia in New Jersey next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Sylvia, what's going on?
You know, I am just so tired of the media, like, groveling about Chris Paul. Like, he did nothing when he was with the Thunder. He did very little when he was with the Rockets. And now outstanding young team. He joined an outstanding young team that went 8-0 in the bubble against the top competition.
But they still didn't make the playoffs.
In the first round of these playoffs, he had 50 points. Excuse me?
No, but you're saying that, like, the Thunder was thought, when he went to the Thunder, they thought that they were tanking.
Yeah.
He took them to the playoffs.
Yeah, he's made everybody he goes and plays for better. And she thinks that the media is salivating over Chris Paul all the time. All I can tell you is this, and this brings me to what to look for here, because we know that the Knicks were salivating over the chance of trying to add Chris Paul last year, but at 35 years old and 40 some million dollars, that was a tough sell. Bart, 3 years, $100 million. If you're the Knicks, would you do that right now where you are?
Man, they can do whatever they want. They can offer
but
him a
would
blank
you
check.
Do it?
Yeah, but they can offer him a blank check. It don't matter.
I know, but does that bring them that much closer? No, if you do that, you are saying you believe in Julius Randle as being the real deal.
I mean, it says that, hey, you're gonna rent a superstar for about a year or two or three to try and hope that you can attract another superstar, right? And if he wants $100 million, that's not a supermax. You still have plenty of money to spend, but now you have to be very careful. You have to go talk to Julius Randle and say, hey, man, you got to take a little bit less because we got to get you a third star.
There was a part of last night that was really tough to take, and it was Michael Malone. Make sure I say Michael Malone.
Oh, yeah.
Make sure it's not Mike, it's Michael.
Who did he check? Malika? Was that? Who did he check?
I think it was Malika.
Like, come on, man.
It was Michael, or it was either Malika or Cassidy Hubbarth. I don't remember, but it was Cassidy.
Yeah, don't call him Mike anyway, because only the greats are Mike. Mike Tyson, Michael Jackson.
I don't want to be like this Mike.
Yeah.
Who last week, after game two, said that his team quit. And I'm not paraphrasing.
I felt we quit tonight.
Boom. That's all I needed to hear. Said that you felt like your team quit. And I understand that negativity might be your way of motivating your team. But that to me is the toughest word in sports to throw around when you're a head coach. And this is what he says after the game last night.
This loss should sting. No one likes to lose. But when you find some time to reflect on the season, remember all the great things that we did this year. And I don't think people fully understand us even winning that first round series, how remarkable that was without a starting backcourt in place. So I'm not going to allow this series to define the season. And obviously, hopefully next year we can find a way to stay healthy and be better and see where we can go.
I'd have to look very hard at this if I'm Nuggets ownership. And I would be putting a lot of stock in these exit interviews with players.
Yeah.
Because when you're going to say that I quit, and then 4 days later, we had no business even being here, considering the injuries that we had, just stop. I mean, that's a complete and utter joke from a head coach to pull that garbage.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know what his methods was, but one thing that's not a joke is how this team has responded, how this team has played in the last couple of years. You look at, you know, last year with the upset, you know, moving to the Western Conference Finals, you know, that's an accomplishment within itself. And, you know, losing your number one star and still being able to kind of make it work with Austin Rivers, you would think this team would be much better. You know, what they have to do, I think, going forward is figure out a way how not to overextend Jokic because he was exhausted by the time they got to this series.
I respect the fact that he knows his team better than I do.
Right.
And the fact that you can motivate your team by saying a lot of things. Bart, as a professional athlete, that's the toughest word you can hear, is it not?
Yeah, quit. I mean, but then if he's able to back that up in the film study where guys weren't giving playoff effort, where guys were kind of like not, you know, going through all out on their rotations, not helping out, not diving for loose balls, you know, and you say that, then you put it on the out there in the media, then it's going to force players to feel themselves, hold themselves accountable. And when you watch the film, if the film matched that, then now you have the best pressure that you can ever have, and that's peer pressure.
Yeah, I get that.
Who was that? Who was that yesterday? He said, "I ain't gonna effing quit." I forgot he kept saying it. Was it Barton?
Yeah, it might have been Will Barton.
Yeah, he kept saying, "I ain't about it." So, but like for him to say, "I'm not going to effing quit," means to me that they've been a conversation. They watch evidence of players quitting.
I don't love the idea of a head coach throwing that out there publicly to continue to try to motivate me, because he's gone to that well a few times, and at some point that's got to start to wear thin. You say that after game two, and the next two games, you didn't have a chance to win these games. Let's call it what it is. They may have been close yesterday. Nobody thought they were winning that game.
Well, but if Jokic was there, you would have said, hey, man, they're close enough in striking distance for him to do
something
special.
You think they would have won the game if Jokic was there in the fourth quarter?
Maybe, if he did kept doing something special, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he did something special in game three, and they still lost.
Yeah.
So I have a major problem with what he's doing, and if I was ownership, I'd be looking at that one and want to talk to players.
You try to get rid of Mike Malone?
I'm telling you.
Either take you to the Western Conference Finals, and then take you to the second round.
It depends on what these players are saying, because you're bringing in talent.
You bringing in D'Antoni?
No. No, I'm interested in winning a championship. I'm not bringing in Mike
Jason
D'Antoni.
Kidd?
No, I am not bringing in Jason Kidd, another retread.
So that's what I'm saying. Who, like, you always say, like, when you
I'll figure out where my better option is before I make the change, but I have to tell you, that really rubbed me the wrong way last week. And then your team, as he said before game four, I don't want us to go quietly into the night, and that's what you did. Well, Bart, it may not feel like it, but New York City may actually raise a banner this year. It just might not be the
Yankees-Mets.
Be the team we thought.
Huh.
Hmm. Interesting. Maybe another team. It's Bart and Han on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Tease.
It does seem like the first game of a series is one. If you're going to steal one or sneak one out, the home
but
team.
It should be the Islanders doing the sneak and not Tampa Bay.
The Islanders go into Tampa and win that game. Tampa maybe takes them a little bit lightly.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
I'm sorry, I can't be convinced otherwise. It's Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Bart, getting it done is brought to you by Granger, and the New York Islanders are getting it done. First of all, huge upset that Hahn's not here and we're talking Islanders hockey.
Yeah,
but that was a big, big win in game one for them in the conference finals.
Hey, we're doing that hockey, man. 2-1. I mean, listen, they're our last hope. You know, listen, because the Yankees, I mean, getting swept by the Phillies, you look at that. The Nets not looking so good. The Mets, even though the ground was dominant, you know, you look at, like, you know, him, you know, being injured. I get concerned. This is the second time. One, it was like side.
Yep, side last time. DeGrom this time had arm tightness or flexor tendonitis or whatever.
Like, hey, Syndergaard, maybe take some MPHs off the ball a little bit, and maybe we could save a little bit. But, I mean, the Islanders, listen, this is a great story, right? You know what I mean? Talk about a historic organization, and I think, you know, they're our greatest hope.
Varlamov was outstanding, 31 saves. Here's Barry Trotz on the Islanders' goaltending.
To me, goaltending, it's all about, you know, timely saves, you know, and we've got two that have done that for us. Varley's done that not only through the playoffs, and same as Sorokin, they've done it all year for us, and that's you're going to need some big saves. I mean, their goaltender made some big saves for them. When we were up 1-0, I thought we had a couple really good looks to get ahead, and then finally we did. We had to get a save from our goaltender, and then we were able to come back and get the second one. But we had an opportunity a couple times to do that before the big save by Varley.
So they get game one in the conference finals against the Lightning, who you would think are the better team, but a good win for the Islanders. Meanwhile, the Nets, Bart, as you said, in a little bit of trouble. So, are the Islanders a better chance to win the title right now than the Nets?
I believe so. I know they're just in the semifinals, but, you know, it looks grim for the Nets right now.
You're a little bummed out about the Nets right now.
I am, because, I mean, last year, I think they didn't appreciate the time last year, and, you know, Kyrie and KD didn't play in a bubble. I think they would have both played in the bubble. They would have had a chance last year. And now this year, if two of the big three can't come, then now you're down to 1 year.
It would have helped a lot just in terms of getting used to one another and playing together. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Granger, always there to help. Call or click Granger.com or just stop by. Jonathan in New Jersey is up next on these Nets. Jonathan, what's up, buddy?
Hi, my name is Jonathan. I'm a young listener. My cousin put me on the show. Just talking about the Nets. I think the big two, they should like rest for like game five, and then game six and game seven they should play on.
So you want them to be in game seven mode or elimination mode for two games? I don't know. I mean, I think it's all hands on deck. I think you never want to fall below 500. You want to make sure that you're ahead.
Oh, I totally agree. And just as you would think that these last two games were both must-wins for Milwaukee, with only Durant on the court, and that's the where I'm going to assume they have to absolutely win game five. If you had to guess quickly, 5 seconds, are they favored or underdogs?
They're going to be underdogs, but they should be favorites because they're at home, and I think that Blake Griffin will play better.
Three-point dogs. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.